Good morning, Katie.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
No worries, anytime. Now, this exhibition is part of the Australian Research Council's linkage project, which is called Curating Third Space, the Value of Arts Science Collaboration. Now, the arts and sciences might seem like a bit of an unlikely collaboration, but what do you see as the value of combining the two?
Well, I think it's a really kind of crucial question for our time. In some ways, for some reason, over the recent centuries, arts and sciences were seen as two sort of separate cultures and operated, I think, in people's minds under different kinds of principles. I also think it's really interesting that in a way that we're used to experiencing them in a cultural context, such as museums, it really separated them out. You go into the art somewhere and sort of a science museum somewhere else. And we were really interested in the way that both artists are really informed by the world and scientists are just observing our world and trying to kind of make sense of the world as well. And both forms are kind of ways of producing knowledge for society, understanding it, sometimes in more poetic forms and sometimes in more factual ways. So we're really trying to think about an environment where they can inform each other, where the public can contribute, and we're not really seeing them as competing visions, but really shared experiences of the world. And to help explain to the public and have the public participate in understanding how big ideas and small ideas can be deeper and richer if we see them from multiple angles.
Oh, absolutely. And it can be an extremely interesting thing once your brain gets stuck into this idea. Why do you think audiences are responding to artworks that combine the arts and science?
Well, I think actually the reality is in this connected world we live in, people's lives are not separated into compartments. It's all a wonderful kind of collective experience and a melding and a mixing of knowledge, but also interests and pursuits. And so I think people are responding, we're finding, to this sort of what might be called interdisciplinary approach, because that's actually what life is really like. That's what the internet brings to us. That's what this sort of mashing up of information and data is in the reality of our contemporary lives. So I think, yeah, they're really understanding this idea of sciences and technology and the arts have a really, if you combine them, have a better chance of really addressing the big questions we face in the world today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess it provides an opportunity for us to do it together as well in the amazing place of a museum. Would you say it's a bit similar to people's fascination with the genre of science fiction, or it's a bit bigger than that?
I think you're right. I think definitely science fiction. One of the things we were observing, you mentioned that the exhibition itself is an outcome of a broader research project we've been undertaking with the University of New South Wales and several other partners. And we actually do a series of workshops to collect visitors' experiences in a quieter kind of imaginative and image-making way. And what we were really seeing across 2 or 3 years of doing this was people's experience of the world is heavily informed by popular culture, as well as highs and low forms of culture, as well as information that might be more sort of perceived as technical or scientific. And, you know, we really did get that very strong sense that the idea of speculation, the imagining the future, science fiction really, that's such a strong sort of area for science fiction, is what will the future of the world be? What will the future of humanity? And that's totally entangled and intertwined with both nature and technology. So I think if you look at popular culture, for example, in the realm of whether you think of it as science fiction or not, we're seeing a real plethora of whether television, series and films and obviously even the novels are very, very popular, but very, very impactful. They're very, very present.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, some interesting materials are used in the artworks. Artist Lindsay Kelly uses a gel that's commonly used as human flesh simulator in military weapons testing. She's using it to make gel cakes. Can you explain the idea behind her use of that material?
Yes, it's, and they're amazing. I'm sorry your listeners can't sort of see them, but if they come to the show, they can, or and jump on the website, they can. She's made these beautiful looking bundt cakes, so the kind of old style cake out of this material called ballistic gel. And as you say, originally derived from a military technology that was replicates the density of human flesh, primarily, of course, for testing ballistics. So there's an interesting dynamic there with something that looks quite seductive and beautiful and is reminiscent of the domestic environment and the home and something, you know, caring like eating cake with your family, actually has these sort of dark undertones. And the reason she sort of created this body of work was she has been doing broader research on food technologies, and she's been particularly looking at the way that military technology actually, and has done so for, you could say, for centuries, driven food technologies and generally domestic technologies. So while, of course, you can't eat the ballistic bundt, that you can't eat the ballistic gel, there are many examples of how the food that we have start to take for granted and imagine as always being sort of available to the everyday person actually were often derived out of the impetus for keeping the army literally on, you know, marching on their stomach. That was a Napoleon quote or something.
Yeah,
so
right.
That's true in a way of a lot of military technologies drive a lot of the technologies that end up filtering down to everyday usage in our lives. And so she was addressing that, but also thinking about gelatin, of which the ballistic gel is a relation, is both a very ancient technology, food technology, and was used for preserving food, but is also very much seen as a future food. And so there's a lot of work being done on whether in the near future we'll be seeing a lot of food being mass-produced using those gel-based foods that are also used for things like, space travel for humanitarian food relief. We saw the boys in the cave, for example, were once they found them, they were supplying them with these kind of gel-based foods as a quick and easy way to gain sustenance. And as climate change and other effects inform how we produce food, she was delving into this whole realm of what future foods might be and what areas of our kind of social structures are driving some of this research and this knowledge.
Yeah, wow, that's a really, I guess, interesting blend of concepts that she's put together there. I also want to talk...
The exhibition in general starts with a body of work, but then sort of leaps off into the multiple sort of questions and relationships that this might represent.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. I also want to talk about artist Liam Young, who shows two different worlds in his 10-minute video. The first is this fantastical world of digital animation, and the second is the world of Indian animation workers, to which Hollywood blockbuster animation is often outsourced. What comment do you think Young is trying to make on the future of humankind with his video?
Well, Liam Young originally trained as an architect and worked as an architect for a number of years. And eventually he became really interested in, well, while we keep building the cities and we kind of structure these built environments, what are the actual infrastructures, soft and hard, behind those sort of motivations or those requirements? And so he started to sort of trace the idea of the way the labor market and it's sort of really a globally networked market. And so while we are working in our immediate environment, we're often quite interlinked and with a whole like kind of broad network across the world. And that also the decisions we make and the choices we make have long-term impacts across a kind of huge range of people across the globe. So we can see that, say, for example, in the fashion industry, certainly you see more and more talking and thinking around that idea of the negative and the positive aspects. But in Liam's case, he was looking at the kind of idea of the entertainment industry. He's often based in LA, so he's particularly aware and connected into that. And he was sort of trying to talk to us about, while the West drives a kind of social imaginary that we share about entertainment in the realm of films and also gaming, which is a huge industry, and the ideas are often driven by Western companies, for example, a lot of the actual work is being done in these things called render studios in low-paid places like Bangalore and Mumbai. And so he was really looking at often the people generating these images and the content for our consumption have no real connection or even much access to those things themselves. So he made a sequence of works for us, which one was a fiction film, as you say, and it was actually made of what they call discarded digital assets, so things from films and games that never got used. And so that was a kind of lovely film about the render worker sort of falling in love with the character that he's kind of, you know, this hours and hours of labor rotoscoping and creating CGI overlays into these sort of for special effects films. The other set of works is a documentary where the actual workers sort of speak for themselves and express their experience of working like this and the kind of cultural intersection. And then the final work is actually a 3D model that he outsourced from these workers in India, where they made a real model of the environments that they live in. So it was a kind of staggered communication, really, or interpretation around our relationship with people we might never realize are contributing to the things we consume and experience in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think I was watching a Joanna Lumley special. She was in India or something like that, and she literally went to one of these Hollywood blockbuster animation places in India, and there's just hundreds of these people working on animation, and you really just never hear about these kind of things. So it's really good that he's kind of pulled that from under the carpet, really, where it's been for years.
Pulling the curtain back, and actually, you know, we were also talking about this idea of how work is changing, and these sorts of studios run like 24/7 and work on these sort of shifts of cheap labor. And as you say, we sort of consume in probably a fairly naive way, don't realize. You see the credits rolling, but you don't see the list of these people who are contributing a lot to the creation of this content.
Absolutely. Now, just quickly, we've only got about 2.5 minutes left, but while I've got you here, if I can speak properly, is there anything else showing at the Museum of Applied Arts and Science for art and science fans going on at the moment?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, Star Wars just opened, so I think that's almost your ultimate in art and science, isn't it? It's a real combination there of, speaking of science fiction and how you might think of artistry at that top level of filmmaking. So, you know, come and see that. And, we have a really interesting exhibition on called Spinning World, which is looking at textiles and the new materials like called graphene, which are conductive. So they conduct electricity even though they're, for example, an ink-based product rather than the wires that we usually associate with conductive materials.
Fantastic. Well, we've gone a little bit longer than I told you we would, but it's a very interesting exhibition that is being put on at the moment. So I urge everyone to get down and have a look and get their brains thinking and pondering. So thank you so much, Katie, for talking to us and telling us about this awesome exhibition you've got on.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.